Welcome to the Ignite Church podcast. Thanks for checking us out. We pray that this message will bring you hope and ignite your faith. Now lean in and enjoy the message.
He died to give us life, and that's what we're all about, giving life through the Word of God. So I'm excited because this is the first part of our session, our three-week session called That Thing, and everybody's asking themselves, what that thing? Well, you know, there's always that thing. You know when you're talking to somebody and you're like, that thing, or you're struggling with something and you don't want to say what it is, but there's that thing? Today we're going to discover in God's Word what that thing is. We're going to unravel or tear apart that thing through God's Word. 2 or 3 months ago, I was on my way to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's house, right? And we drive up to their house, and I'm getting out of the car, and it's nighttime already. My son had driven us crazy the whole entire day, and suddenly had just fallen asleep in the car. So I open the door of the car, and I'm closing the door, and I see through the window that my son is asleep. So I closed the door, but I went right back to grab it, to open it, to tell my wife, don't make noise, the baby fell asleep, because we don't want him to wake up. And what happened was that while I had reached back to the door, I caught two of my fingers. Now, how many of you have ever jammed one of your fingers? Yeah. It's a lot of pain. Yeah. Well, my wife says I turned green that night. I don't know, because I didn't look in the mirror. All I was just holding my fingers. And out of nowhere, that finger went from being normal to abnormal. You know, it grew black. It was in pain. I was in pain. I was like, and you know, all these thoughts coming running through my mind, like, why did I do that? Why did I even put my hand out? I should have just left him wake up. It doesn't matter. You know, you start thinking of all the things when you're going through hardships. Usually you're so focused on the pain that you don't realize the purpose behind the pain. Yeah. You're so focused on the enormity or the abnormity of the situation that you forget that there's still a God seated in heaven, that he could return your finger to normality. Yeah. So what happened was, you know, that day I was in pain, a lot of pain. I didn't go to the ER. I didn't go to the urgent care. I just said, you know what? I'm going to weigh this out. I'm going to put ice. Yeah. And that's all I did. And for a while, my finger was like stiff, but I knew I didn't break anything because I could move my fingers. Yeah. So I knew that something wasn't broken, but it was in a lot of pain. Yeah. You know, sometimes in life, you feel like you're not broken, but you're in a lot of pain. Amen. And you don't do anything because like, I could get this through. I could do it. I could handle the pain. I could handle the circumstance, right? Yeah. Today we're going to see that there's somebody in the Bible that we could identify with, or probably try to identify ourselves with, because sometimes, you know, when you're going through trials and tribulations or hardships, you always think that your problem is bigger than anybody else's. You always think that your pain is greater than anyone else's. Yeah. But in reality, there's a lot of people out there that are far off worse than you are. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that are going through situations way deeper or way stronger or way enormous compared to your circumstance. Yeah. Paul is one of those. You know, if you know the story of Paul, Paul persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ. He was, you know, a Jewish scholar. He knew the word. He was practically a Sadducees, or whatever you want to call it. One of the religious leaders. And he persecuted the church after Jesus Christ resurrected, that the church was going out preaching the gospel. He persecuted, and he set up rallies to go kill these Christians, or stone them how they did back then. And then on his way to the road to Damascus, right, he has an encounter. He's on his way to kill more Christians, and on his way to kill more Christians, Jesus shows up. Yeah. And you know, sometimes I want to pause there for a moment, because we think that God can never show up in our lives because how bad we are, or how much messed up we are, or how much mistakes we've made in our past. Here's the man, he's on his way. He's already made mistakes. He's on his way to make more mistakes, and Jesus shows up on the road to Damascus. Probably that's the only word you needed to hear today. That it doesn't matter where you're at today. It doesn't matter what circumstances you did yesterday. Probably you're on your way to make more mistakes. Yeah. Jesus shows up. Amen. On the way, yeah, on your road to wherever you're going. And he showed up to the road to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, he shows him, he blinds him, he knocks him down. He shows him, who are you persecuting? You know, and he's, Lord, Lord, who is it? And he's like, it's me, Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And his life is transformed. You can read the story. But after his life is transformed, right, he goes and now he's preaching the gospel. And now he's reaching people. And now he's receiving revelations from God. And he's doing great things. And actually, he writes like 2/3 of the Bible, of the New Testament, or 3/4 of the New Testament, and he's been known as the great apostle Paul. Before he was known, you know, as the killer, but now he's known as the great apostle Paul. But because he was known as a great apostle Paul, he had hardships too. He had problems too. See, he was put in prison multiple times. He was whipped without number. He faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave him 39 lashes. I don't know about you, but my finger was hard enough. It was a lot of pain. I could only imagine what 39 lashes is. 3 times he was beaten with rods. How many of you, when you were small, your mom or your dad grabbed something and they hit you with it to discipline you?
Yeah.
How many of you, your mom had like a little rod or like a little stick? Yeah. Those hurt. Or la chancleta. You know, if you're Cuban, you have la chancleta. You know, this is not a chancleta and this is not a little stick. This is a rod. He was 3 times he was beaten with a rod. Once he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. And there was a couple of times that he spent the whole night and a day adrift at sea. You see, we're going to discover this morning that God uses our hardships for his glory.
Amen.
That makes no sense. Doesn't the Bible sometimes make no sense?
Yeah.
Like you're reading the Bible, like how in the world could God use the evil to turn it to good? How could God use my pain for his glory?
Yeah.
Well, God doesn't have to make sense. He's God.
Yeah.
But the only thing that we need to understand is that he uses our pain for his glory.
Amen.
There's a purpose in your pain.
Yeah.
And if you go over me in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 10 we're going to read. And if you're following on in your Bible or on the screen, you'll see the verses. It says, "This boasting will do me no good." He's talking about this revelation that he received, and he's talking about all the dreams and the things that God has done through his life. But he says that this boasting does me no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up in the third heaven 14 years ago, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in the body or outside of my body. But I do know that I was caught up in paradise and heard things so outstanding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. So I'll pause there to give you a little bit of understanding. So Paul is telling the church, hey, this is not for me to boast about because I received this revelation, but I must share this revelation with you. I must share what God has given me. It's not because of who I am. It's not because I'm Paul the Great. I must share this with you. And he says, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. God only knows that. But one thing I do know is that I was caught up in heaven. I was caught up in paradise. So he's having this revelation. He says, I don't know if God literally took me to heaven or if God just gave me the revelation. But I know that I was in heaven. I was in paradise. And it says that I was, and heard things so astounding that cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. But he goes on to say, that experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. He says, I could boast about it. Yeah, I could brag about it. I could say, hey, you know what? I went to heaven. I saw angels. I had a dream. I walked with Jesus. And that happens to people. That's okay. But he says, I'm not going to boast about that.
Yeah.
I could. He says, instead, I will only boast about my weaknesses.
Amen.
That makes no sense. Here's a man that has received revelation from God. He has received the word from God. He has practically been in heaven and heard voices and seen things that men cannot see. Man has not seen or man cannot express in words. He says, I'm not going to boast about that. I'm not going to boast about the glory. I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do that because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what can be seen in my life or heard in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in troubles, that I may suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. You're caught up in glory. You could boast about this. You could tell people, hey, guess what? God gave me this revelation. God did this. Like sometimes we boast about the miracles or the blessings that God has given us. You know, and sometimes we think that, oh, yeah, well, I could boast because God blessed me. God answered my prayer. But he says, I'm not going to boast about that. I'm not going to boast about the things that God has done in my life or God has shown me. Instead, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. Yeah. But he goes on to say he was given a thorn in his flesh. He was given a thorn in his flesh. Now, the Bible doesn't say, Paul doesn't say what that thorn is. Today, my preaching, I've titled it My Thorn, right? Or The Thorn, My Thorn. Think about your thorn, that thing. We're talking about that thing, right? That thing is the thorn, your thorn. Now, I think that the Bible, God didn't specifically say what the thorn was, so we could identify ourselves with Paul. Yeah. Because he says, I was given this thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. What was the purpose of the thorn? The thorn was to keep him from becoming proud. Yeah. The thorn was to keep him from becoming proud. Some people have theories of what these thorns or this thorn could have been in Paul. One of the theories is it could be his past. You know, sometimes our thorn is our past. It reminds us of where God brought us out of. It reminds us of what God did in our lives yesterday. Probably that was the past, because probably Paul was thinking, man, how could God do such great things in my life? How could God give me revelation of heaven? How could God take me to heaven and let me hear and see things that man cannot hear or man has not seen, knowing that I once persecuted Christians. Yeah. I once killed people that believed in Jesus because I thought I was right. So probably the thorn was his past. Probably your thorn is your past.
Yeah.
Probably it keeps you from becoming proud and recognizing that all you have is because of God.
Amen.
Or probably his thorn was a physical ailment. You know, there's references in it, as he's writing letters to the church, that Paul is losing his eyesight. He has a physical ailment, right? And you might think, well, why didn't God heal him of his physical ailment? He used him to heal so many people. He used him to heal thousands and thousands of people. You know, why didn't God heal that ailment? It could be the ailment. It could be that, to remind him, hey, why do you have this thorn? Because in my weakness, God is made stronger. Because in your weaknesses, God is made stronger. One of the other things is the constant persecution and trials by the Jewish people. Because he preached Jesus. He basically denied his upbringing. He denied his clan, or he denied his religious leaders, to now preach something totally different that they were against. Mm-hmm. Probably his story was the constant persecution that he faced. Mind you, I mentioned that he was, you know, lashed 30-something times. He was beaten by rods. He was shipwrecked. Probably that was his thorn. Or some people think that it was a carnal temptation. Or depression. Probably he had depression in his life.
Yeah.
You know, probably he was facing a temptation that sometimes he struggled with. Because let's face it, the Bible says that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. There's no perfect person.
Yeah.
There's no perfect people. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter if you're the Apostle Paul, for the sake.
Yeah.
You all face the temptations. We all face temptations. We all face situations. We all face ups and downs. We all face times that we feel depressed.
Yeah.
Probably his thorn was that. You know, it's interesting that Paul's story is kind of similar to Job's story. There's another person in the Bible, and now he's in the Old Testament. And his name is Job, right? And Bible says in chapter 1 of Job, verse 8 to 12, it says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil?'" Wow, that's amazing. That's something that Job could probably boast about. "I'm an upright man. I am blameless. I fear God and I shun evil." But Satan tells the Lord, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hand and his possessions and increased his land? Now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person."
Yeah.
Well, how did these two stories connect? Or what time of... Well, it says that Paul's thorn was a messenger from Satan to keep him from becoming proud. Here, Job is a man of God like Paul, right? And now God says to Satan, okay, touch whatever he has, but don't touch his life. Sometimes, you know, we think that our thorns are of the devil. Well, probably it's not so much of the devil, but probably God allows it. Yeah. Which brings me to point number one of my preaching tonight. That thing is probably a God thing.
Amen.
Have you ever thought about that? That thing that you have, yeah, or that thing that you're struggling with, or that thing that you're facing in life, that trial, that hardship, could that thing actually be a God thing?
Amen.
Paul says, my thorn is a messenger from Satan to keep me from becoming proud. Job is blessed, and one day everything is taken from him, and yet he says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Because
yeah,
he realized, my thorn, it has purpose.
Yeah.
My thorn has a meaning. My thorn probably is the devil is causing the pain, but God is allowing the pain because he's building my character,
yeah,
because he's building,
yeah,
greater things for me.
Yeah.
He's preparing me for greater things.
Wow.
Probably,
yeah,
that thorn, yeah, was holding Paul from becoming proud and missing out on all that God had for him,
yeah, yeah,
because God had given him revelation of heaven. Sometimes God blesses you so much that you forget about him.
Yeah.
Why is it that when we have a thorn, we seek God more?
Wow. Come on.
Why is it that when we have pain, we bow our knees more?
Wow.
Why is it that when we're going through trials and tribulations, we actually look for God in every corner, under every room, and every
Come
circumstance,
yeah,
because we need an answer?
Yeah. Wow.
Could it be that God allows thorns to draw us closer to him?
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
That's good.
You know, I've shared this story in the past of my dad. My dad went to be with the Lord in 2015. For those of you who don't know the story of my dad, you know, one December morning, he went to the doctor because they had found something in an x-ray. They saw what they call like a shadow in an x-ray. So they wanted to further investigate what was that shadow. So he went in for a CT scan, right? Mind you, I'm at work, everyone's at work, and we get a call from my mom, have you heard from your dad? And I'm like, no, all we know is that this morning he went, well, I can't get reach of him, he doesn't answer my call, his phone doesn't answer. So my brother and I start panicking, as well as my mom. My brother and I go to the doctor, we go to Jackson Memorial, right? We're trying to find where in the world is my dad. We don't know what, all we know is that he went to the doctor. So we start going to office to office to office. They didn't want to release information to us because, you know, it's private information. If you're not one of the, you're not the patient, they won't release information to you. So we're trying to figure out until we land grace or favor with someone. And somebody tells us, oh, he is in such and such building. So we go to that building, right? And we finally find him and he's there. Oh, I'm sorry, my phone died. I've been here all day long. They want to do a CT scan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I told the doctor I can't do a CT scan because I'm claustrophobic. I can't go through that tube. They have to sedate me, whatever. So they sedated him. He went, he did the CT scan, but at that point, they admitted him to the hospital. And we're like, well, why are they admitting him to the hospital? He's just doing a CT scan. We're admitting him to the hospital because we have to wait for the results, right? So Monday passes, Tuesday passes, Wednesday passes. Sunday is his birthday, right? So he tells, you know, they haven't gotten the results back. He's fine. He doesn't have symptoms or anything like that. He tells the doctor, please, you know, can you let me go home? I want to go celebrate my birthday with my family. I want to be able to chill at home. I'm fine. The doctor, you know, realized that he didn't really have any symptoms to continue holding him in the hospital. So they let him go. That Saturday morning, I get a call. I'm at home. I get a call from my dad and from my mom. They're on their way home from Jackson Memorial Hospital. It's already an afternoon, right? And I order pizza. I remember the scene because it's one of the things that you would never, that I probably would never forget. I order his favorite pizza. Pizza Polo Norte. For those that are Cuban, you know what I'm talking about. Free advertisement there. And we order pizza, and the pizza gets there. I have all the cups and everything ready, the plates and everything. He's on his way home. He gets home fine. He goes upstairs. I'm gonna shower to get, you know, get fresh and clean to come downstairs. He goes upstairs and he starts showering. My mom calls us screaming, "Come help us! Help us! Help us!" And we're like freaking out. What's going on? What's going on? My dad had a stroke.
Oh, no.
My dad had a stroke. Rush him with ambulance to the hospital. You know, they had to do an emergency operation to remove the blood clot that was in his brain. At that point, he had damaged the right side of his brain, lost functionality on his left side of his body, lost his speech, right? And we were just appalled. We were like, he was just fine. He drank his Cuban coffee this morning. What could have gone wrong, you know? And my dad went on, to make the story short, my dad went on to be, I think it was 40-something, or 50-something days in the hospital. The results come back. He had melanoma carcinoma, which is cancer in the lungs, right? But at that point, they couldn't do anything for my dad. They couldn't do chemotherapy. They couldn't give him any type of therapy because my dad was too weak because of the stroke. My dad started refusing his physical therapy. You know, we tried our best. We everything we could, right? Until the point that my dad went to be with the Lord, January 30th, 2015. Now, why do I share this story? Because 3 days before my dad had a stroke, my dad gave his life to Jesus Christ. Amen. We had been praying for 20-something years so that he would open his heart to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know why God allows certain things, but I do know that God has a purpose in everything. Amen. What would have happened if he would have not had, God would have saved him with a stroke or without a stroke, but he gave the family the opportunity to be able to hear that he gave his life to Jesus Christ, because after that, I never heard my dad's voice. Wow. After that Saturday morning conversation on that phone call, I never heard my dad's voice ever again. Wow. Why do I share this? Sometimes God allows thorns to remind you that he's great.
Amen.
Now, I shared with my wife after that, you know, I kind of like fought with God, if you want to say that, where I argued with God. I said, God, I always believed that you were going to save my dad. And he was, you know, my dad was a very outgoing person, very alive, healthy, strong. When you saw him afterwards, he looked totally the opposite. And I always said, God, my dad was going to be a preacher. I always thought my dad was going to be a preacher. He, you know, he had a great testimony to share to the world. You finally saved him. Why did you have to take him? Why did you have to take him? And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, your dad didn't get to tell the world, but his story through you
Amen.
Will tell the world
yeah.
that Jesus Christ
Amen.
Saves. See, my thorn was that. It reminds me constantly that even though I don't have my dad here present today, because the miracle that God did in my dad, I could preach to that Jesus Christ
Amen.
Saves.
Yeah.
And he shows up just at the right time.
Yeah, that's right.
Which brings me to my next point. Don't let the pain of your thorn outweigh the power of his grace. Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, that one that we read in verses 8, three times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Three times. How many times haven't you begged the Lord, God, take this thorn away, take this pain away, take this problem away, take this situation away? He begged them three times. I mean, like, Paul, you could have begged more. But, you know, three times. Three means a lot in the Bible. It means completion.
Yeah.
It means confirmation. It means a lot of things.
Yeah.
But three times I begged the Lord, take it away. And each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.
Amen.
My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.
Amen.
I mean, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness.
Yeah.
See, God's power works in our weakness. Amen. When you are weak and you can't anymore is when God says, I can.
Yes. Amen.
When you say, God, I can't, I give up. God says, good, let me move in.
Yeah.
Let me take control. Let me glorify myself. Let me do a miracle. Let me do what I've been wanting to do, because while you're in the way,
yeah.
God cannot move. See, God doesn't push you so that he can move. He lets you move
yeah.
so that then he can move.
Amen.
He lets you say, I give up. So he says, good, I'll pick you up.
Amen.
See, don't let the pain of your thorn
yeah.
outweigh the power of his grace.
Amen.
My power works best in weakness.
Yeah.
My power works best in weakness.
Yeah.
I could tell you, 2015 was a very sad year for me. But it was also an amazing year for me, because it was the year I married my bride. It was the year that God started reuniting my family. It was the year that God started moving in my life and doing things at such a fast pace. Am I saying that I'm not happy or glad that my dad's here? No, I miss my dad every single day. But every time I miss my dad, I am thankful that God gave him the opportunity to give his life to Jesus Christ. I would be even more sad if I knew that he didn't have the opportunity to give his life to Jesus Christ. Because why? Because when he gave his life to Jesus Christ, he basically said, God, I can't, but you can.
Amen.
And God said, okay, son, I got something better for you. I'm not gonna share a revelation of heaven with you like I did with Paul. Yeah. I'm actually gonna show you and take you to my place.
Amen.
And he's doing way better than I am. Last point before I end tonight, his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
You know, what is grace? What is grace? So many people have different theories of grace, what grace is. To me, grace is Jesus. Grace has a name. It's Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient. Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is all you need for the circumstance and situation and trial that you're facing. Jesus is what you need. Not the bank, not the doctor, not your friend, not your family. Those are important things. Those are important factors. But Jesus is the most important thing. His grace is sufficient. That's why he told them in verse 10, he says, that's why I take pleasure. He didn't say, that's why I like, or that's why it's so cool. Or he said, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in insults, in hardships, in persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Why am I strong? Because Jesus Christ is all I need.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient.
Yes.
God told him, my power works in your weakness.
Yes.
My power works in your weakness. So when I am weak, I am really strong.
Yeah.
I'm really strong. For when I am weak, I am strong. You know, Job, we compared Paul and Job. And Job had a situation similar to Paul. Look what it says in Job chapter 42. This is at the end of Job's going through his trials and stuff. In verse 5, it says, I had only heard about you before, but now I see you with my own eyes.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient.
Amen.
His grace is sufficient. Job went through a lot of trial. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost everything. And he even got pain in his body. He got a thorn in his body. But even through all that, he said, God, I've seen it all. I once thought I knew you, but actually through this pain, through this circumstance, through this thorn, I once heard about you, but now I see you.
Yes.
Could it be that you need a thorn to be able to open your eyes to see God for who he is?
Yeah.
Could it be that the thorn that God has allowed to be in your life is not to hurt you, but to promote you?
Amen.
Could it be that all you need to do is stop complaining about the thorn and realize his grace is sufficient?
Yeah.
For when you are weak, then you are strong.
Amen.
Come on.
Yeah.
For when you are weak, then you are strong.
Yeah.
I want to close this word with just that reminder, with those three points. You know, it says that thing is a God thing.
Amen.
Whatever that thing is, what is that thing?
Yeah.
Probably it is a physical ailment. God wants to heal, yes, but probably God is allowing you to go through this circumstance to build you, to strengthen you, to show you it's not about you, it's not about the doctors.
Yeah.
Is about Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And that's hard. Believe me, that's hard to understand. It's really hard. I'm talking from, you know, I use the example of my dad, you know, losing someone, like, why? We don't know. Those are questions that we don't understand. And you know what? There's questions in life that you're not going to have the answer to probably here on earth. But you need to have the faith to trust that sometimes that thing is a God thing.
That's good.
The power of your pain should never outweigh the power of his glory.
Amen.
And lastly, his grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
So today, those of you who are here and those of you who are watching online, I want to pray for you. Probably you have a thorn and you've been saying, God, take it, take it, take it, take it. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, because there are certain things that, you know, are not thorns. There are certain things that God does need to take. But there's certain things that God will allow to build you, to strengthen you, to guide you, to do greater things, to slap the enemy in his face and show him, hey, you thought Job was going to turn his back on me? No, he proved you wrong. Job follows me. Paul thought, you know, you thought Paul was going to become proud because I gave him given these revelations. No, Paul is known as one of the greatest apostles, and he's still humble. He says, I cannot be considered anything. I would not boast about this. If anything, I will boast about my weakness, my harshness, my persecutions, my trials, my situations, because when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
I want to pray for you, but I want to pray more than anything for those of you who are watching or are in this room that say, man, I need to fix my life with God. Because I'm walking all many different ways, different paths, different circumstances, different, scenarios, and I'm not walking with God. I think I know God, but I really don't know God. That's that thing that sometimes I struggle with, my relationship with God. Well, I want to just encourage you, God doesn't want you to struggle with him. God wants you to work with him.
Amen.
He wants you just to let him do things in your life. And it's just by allowing him and giving him opportunities to do those things in your life. So I want to pray for you. If that's you, you could repeat this prayer. You could say a prayer on your own. You could just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize I need you. I've tried it on my own and it doesn't work. But I know today that you love me. And I want to believe that you will help me. So give me the faith to believe you, to trust you. In doing so, I give you my life today. And I ask you to save me. I ask you to do what only you can do, which is bring eternal life to my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for everyone here. I thank you for those who are watching or are going to watch this broadcast later on. I pray bless their lives, bless their homes, bless their family, bless their children, God. I pray, Lord, whatever that thorn is, God, show them, Jesus, that sometimes you allow that to build them, to strengthen them, to guide them, Father God, to help them live a better life. That there are things that you want to take and they need to pray, take those things, God. But there are certain things that you sometimes allow to help us not become proud like Paul, Father God, that said it holds me back from becoming proud and missing out on all that God has. Help us realize that, Father God, even in our weaknesses, you are strong. You are strong. You don't stop being strong, but even in our weaknesses, you are strong and you are greater, God. I thank you for this morning. Bless everyone's week. Let us have an amazing week. I bless them. I pray your mighty blessings upon their lives, Lord, that you will guide them, that you will open doors of favor and grace, close the doors that men cannot close, and pour out blessing to it to be overflowing in their lives. In Jesus' name, until next time, we love you. We pray that God will bless you and strengthen you. Do great things in your life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Love you guys. Until next time, the best is yet to come.
At Ignite, we count it a blessing to engage each week with supporters just like you. If you were blessed by today's word, subscribe to our podcast and share it with someone you know. We believe in spreading the message of Jesus like a wildfire. Thank you for your support, and be sure to check us out on any of our social media platforms at Church Ignite. Until next time, be blessed, and remember, the best is yet to come.